Hello, everybody, and welcome to Min-Max Council, the Patreon-exclusive podcast, which is all about answering each and every question posed by the Min-Max Council themselves. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting Min-Max at the Min-Max Council tier. Chris Fader, Starkiller, Patrick Polk, Bob Buell, Christian Jimenez, Mike Mechiasek. Thank you all for being here. Very much appreciated. We are here to answer each and every question posed. And we had a little pre-show talking about what's coming up in the future, because if you want to jump up to the $20 tier, we would love to hear your voice. We'd love to have you call in. Normally, we have the big call-in episode happen every Sunday. Not every Sunday. What I meant to say is the last Sunday of every month. But this month, the last Sunday of the month is Halloween. So we can't do it then. So I guess we should probably do it on Monday for the call-in episode again. Although Mike says that we should have some random trick-or-treaters call into the show. That sounds horrifying, but maybe. So we'll see how that goes. Let's go with Monday. But if you jump up to that $20 tier, you can call in, and we'd love to hear your voice. Ooh, now I'm thinking about this out loud. Maybe the first would be tricky. Maybe it needs to be some other time. Maybe it does need to be Sunday. Maybe it does need to be Halloween, the big spooky night. Oh, look, we'll figure that out off air, and I'll post about it in the Discord to let everybody know. Otherwise, this week here at MinMax, we have some things going on. Don't know what it is, but it's getting stronger. So we have New Show Plus, obviously. We'll get into that. But today, we have Trivia Tower going live. Trivia Tower happened yesterday. Thanks to everybody who competed. We appreciated all the new support. Seems like there was a wave of kind of new blood entering Trivia Tower that were fueled by the fires of Trivia Tower All-Stars, which I guess happened since the last time we recorded this podcast. Is that right? God, that seems crazy. But Trivia Tower All-Stars happened last week, and that was a delight. Somehow it all worked out. It was a little stressful going in, but all the tech seemed to work out, and the shocking thing is everybody seemed to have a lot of fun, which was very heartwarming. So thanks to everybody who competed from around the industry, and I mean, the archive got up to like, what, 16,000 on YouTube, which in a way then helped fuel the standard community episode of Trivia Tower, which happened yesterday, and so the archive will be going live. But we had Lucy James from GameSpot there. Celeste Leon jumps in the MinMax Council chat and says, "Hey, all, have I missed much?" No, we've just been debating dates. So, you know, standard MinMax Council stuff. But we had Lucy James join, who is a great, enthusiastic co-host. She was wonderful. And it just made me think about how wonderful she is. You know what? It made me think about, like, the obvious thing of, oh, it's such a weird release for Trivia Tower to have it. And this is kind of in the weeds, but hopefully, this is somewhat interesting. Hopefully. No, but Trivia Tower, it's always live to Patreon supporters, and the next day we put it up on YouTube. But it's like, well, that doesn't really make sense. I do it so I can, just in case there's a disaster, and I can trim something out, or I can put in B-roll of the games that we're talking about, stuff like that. And I just realized, like, oh, it's so much more fun if Trivia Tower is the way we did Trivia Tower All-Stars, where it's just a live event for everybody at YouTube at the time. And probably would be more motivating as well. If you saw this live event happening and you knew the answer and you just couldn't buzz in, I think that would probably be an extra surge of momentum to be like, oh, time to jump in there and actually compete in next month's competition. So I think in the future, please help me remember, but in the future, we should just do all Trivia Towers live. Live to tape, as they say. And yeah, it's going to lose like the little cute intro, and there's going to be a couple other things that might go wrong along the way, but it totally seems like the way to go. Let's see. Starkiller says, Lucy James is a great guest. Quality audio and video and good at keeping up with the conversation. Oh, that's right. Celeste Leon says, big fan of Lucy James. Glad to see her and Tamora are doing well. GameSpot After Dark was an underrated podcast for a long time. Dumb question, Celeste Leon. Is GameSpot After Dark still going on, or did it end after Jake Decker left because he was the host? But I'm glad even Mike enjoyed Lucy, so thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's see. Okay, New Show Plus happening this week. We have some ideas. We are bringing back crowd favorite Nintendo Online, because we have the N64 games dropping later tonight, and so a new show plus poll option will be, you can vote for, this time Sarah Podzorski and I will be playing a bunch of N64 games and drinking wine. It'll be a mess, but should be a fun time, so that'll be an option. If you're at that $10 tier, you can vote on all these. I hope you all enjoyed the free week last week. That was fun to give everybody a taste, a trial run at all these higher tiers. Thanks to everybody who submitted a great image for the Wall of Heroes. If you enjoyed that, you can always help support MinMax in a big bad way by jumping up to that Wall of Heroes tier this week, and then you can lock in your image on the Wall of Heroes throughout all of November. But you can also jump up to that $10 tier and vote for New Show Plus stuff. So we have Nintendo Online, of course. We have the return of the Squid Games in Roblox with Leo Vader and Sarah. That should be interesting. Then we have, we're going to put in there Haunt Your Dreams, which is playing a bunch of scary games in dreams. I checked them out a little bit yesterday, and Media Molecule has like a whole cool framing for a bunch of horror stuff. So I thought that'd be a fun one in line with Halloween here. And then also we'll put in there the return of Great Goaty Hunt for Age of Empires 4. We'll stream some Age of Empires 4 because I have a copy of that and I can stream it now. The review embargo's up and lo and behold, it's good. We'll be talking about it more on the podcast a little bit later. Hope you all enjoy that. Emin Goldie says, can't wait for you to play some intense Mario Tennis. Yeah. Also, I was thinking that Mario Tennis would be a good one if they do have online multiplayer, which I hope they do for Mario Tennis. Let me know if they've confirmed that. But I thought they'd be a fun one too for Extra Life, because Extra Life is coming up on November 6th. It's Saturday. We're going to be streaming for 25 hours to raise money for Gillette Children's Specialty Healthcare, and we're going to be teaming up with Game Informer. And we'll be revealing this very shortly. We're also going to be teaming up with Easy Allies, which should be fun. So Easy Allies folks will be crossing over and we'll have a big trifecta. So hopefully they will have some fun competitions in there between the three outlets for Extra Life this year. So it should be a fun time. So that'll be November 6th. So please look forward to that. Should be a fun long stream. Also, let's see. I'm not done walking through this week, because obviously got the podcast on Wednesday, but we're going to be recording it on Wednesday after the State of Play. There's a new Sony State of Play, which is happening at, I think, 4 p.m. Central. And so we're going to be recording the podcast a little bit after that. It said they're going to focus on third-party stuff for that State of Play. So hopefully, fingers are crossed for some more Final Fantasy 16 news. So we'll see how that goes, but we'll be talking about that on the podcast, obviously, and we'll be streaming a live reaction to the State of Play as well. Then we have the podcast. Then on Thursday for MinMax Plays, we're going to be doing our big horror Halloween stream on Thursday. So if you tuned in last year, you might recall that best friend Ronnie and I played a bunch of horror games and were terrified, and it was a fun, silly, loose, weird time. And so we're going to be doing that again on Thursday, everybody. So please look forward to our Halloween spectacular stream on Thursday from MinMax Plays. Hope y'all enjoy it. MN Goldie says, I believe the N64 has online. I heard people talking about the possibility of playing original Smash online. They've yet to confirm original Smash will come. Yeah, that, who knows? Nintendo's not great about outlining things in the future for the virtual console type stuff, but yeah, I'm very curious to see if they actually do add online to Smash, to the original Smash eventually. That'll be really interesting. But I think they've confirmed, as far as I can tell, is having Mario Kart 64 online, which will also be fun to play. Patrick Polk has a question. Hello, Patrick Polk. Anyways, that's the rough roadmap for the week. Hope y'all enjoy it. Patrick Polk asks, how many times have you dressed up as a video game character for Halloween? Which ones? Great question. Surely I have. But honestly, I'm going through the Rolodex. I don't know. I can't think of it. I'm trying to think of, like, you know, probably because I got into video gaming a little bit later. Like, you know, I remember best friend Ronnie. When is it? When is Mario 3 Mario for 14 years in a row or something? But, like, because I really wasn't into video games other than, like, Oregon Trail as a wee lad, Maybe I was too old for trick-or-treating by the time I was like really into Crash Bandicoot or something. Plus, like, what do you do? Just paint orange on your face? There's no great way to go. Starkiller, as favorite Halloween costume you've done? I liked one time I went as a kind of a Slender Man, but the core of it was just like I wanted to go with something scary that generally freaks me out, which is like tall, scary, dark figure. And so I made like little platform shoes for myself and wore a scary mask and stuff, and I kind of freaked myself out. I still am not sure exactly what I'm going for as Halloween this year. Is a little bit up in the air. But what I want to do, it turns out it was kind of tricky to do. but I think I'm going to go for it. I was originally going to be a couple's costume, but it turns out you can't find a good adult pterodactyl suit, which is a problem I've had a lot in my life. But I'm planning on going as from Toy Story 1, the pterodactyl little girl doll hybrid thing. That's going to be. So it's like, okay, I just need to get a pterodactyl mask and then get that dress. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like Sid rips the head off. Or I guess, does he rip the head off or does the dog bite the head off? And then he's like, oh, playing doctor, blah. And then he connects him and stuff. And so I wanted to do like a couple's costume of the flip of that, of like one person is one half, the other person's the other half and stuff. But I don't think my girlfriend's into it. And we couldn't find a good, sorry, my fiance. And I couldn't find a good costume online. So that's my plan anyway. It is terrifying. Thank you, Patrick Polk. Chris Fader wants to know best/worst Halloween candies. If I had to think of what I'd be most excited about, I'd be excited about Starburst. I'd be excited about Twix. I think those are kind of my two biggies on the good end of the spectrum. The worst are just like, I don't even know what in God's name these are called. But it's just kind of like the brown paper wrapper twisty thing. You know, just like generic bad candy. It was always a real bummer when you get a big, big scoop of those. But this might be an interesting time to talk about something that, I don't know, I feel really weird about. Kind of embarrassed about, but it's not embarrassing because it's happened to so many people. But I had a really weird last couple of weeks. If I did my job correctly, hopefully you didn't notice anything. But I had COVID the last 2 weeks, which led to me postponing this Halloween stuff. Like, I don't know if I'm going to go to a Halloween party. Okay, I'm going to be in the clear by the time Halloween rolls around. But let's see. So I started feeling symptoms on the 13th. So that was like recording the podcast with Mike Drucker. And then we did the Jackbox stream on that Thursday, and I felt terrible. That's the reason I wasn't funny. And then the following week was just brutal because that was like the anniversary week. And it's like, well, I can't not do that. And so that was rough. And plus we had Trivia Tower All-Stars lined up on the 18th. I was like, well, I can't reschedule with 24 other people. So I bit the bullet, and just did all that podcasting and stuff and tried to put on a good game face. And it helps that, like, you know, your adrenaline's pumping when you're doing stuff like Trivia Tower and stuff like that. But that was hell. That was really rough. And yes, I was vaccinated. Yes, everybody, please get vaccinated. I don't know how bad it could have been if I wasn't vaccinated. But it was rough. Like that weekend in particular, like that Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I was in real rough shape with just like fever, cold sweats, all that nonsense, and just like super sore body. And then the weird part too was like my breathing got really weird. So like recording the Deepest Dive and recording the podcast and Trivia Tower a little bit as well, I was really lightheaded because I just was not getting enough oxygen. It was not good, everybody. But hopefully it worked out okay and we got to celebrate our anniversary. That's why, you know, I saw when we were talking about our anniversary stream and I was asking for suggestions a while ago. I forget who it was, but someone's like, just make sure you do your anniversary stream in the new studio in person because it adds so much. I was like, yeah, I fully agree. And hopefully people were not too angry about it not being in person. But that was the reason we didn't do any anniversary stream stuff in person because I was highly infectious. Mike says, I feel like it's been a really strong couple of weeks for him next, so props to you. Thank you. Patrick says, I feel a little bad the structure of Min-Max didn't let you take time off. Yeah, if it would have been really any other time, I absolutely would have just fully rested. But honestly, the worst part, other than the breathing, which I'm still a little short of breath, which is kind of a scary thing. But I got a like an oxygenator thing, which is what the doctor recommended. So I can, like, you put it on your finger and it tells you how much oxygen is in your blood or whatever. And so it's like, okay, I'm struggling to breathe, but this is telling me that I'm getting enough oxygen. So, okay, I guess it's going to be okay then, which was bizarre. Yeah, if it was any other week, I would have loved to relax more. But anyways, the worst part was trying to beat Metroid Dread during, like, peak COVID. So that's always going to be a memory of mine, is beating my head against the wall while just being a sweaty COVID mess of a person trying to beat that final boss. That was just like a terrible 1-2 punch. So if I'm a little more sour on Metroid Dread than most, it's probably connected to the fact that I felt terrible while doing that. But, you know, reminder to everybody to please be safe, get vaccinated, all that fun stuff. Because it turns out it's quite real and it super sucks. And I think how I got it is, you remember that Emmy stream that we did where I was drinking way too much champagne? It turns out I had a lot of champagne. Then after that, I was like, hey, my neighbor's having a Halloween party. We should go over there and say hi. And it says on the flyer where they invited us that everyone needs to be vaccinated to go there. So this will be great. That was just on a flyer. There probably were not vaccinated people there because there's a bunch of strangers. And it turns out that was a very stupid idea to go into a house with a bunch of strangers that you don't trust the vaccination levels of. So it seems like I got it there. The amazing thing, Shazira, is my partner is totally fine. Tested multiple times, negative the entire time. And she was wonderful for taking care of me and all that stuff, but it's still mind-boggling that, like, you can live with somebody with COVID and not get it. So it's pretty wild. Let's say Chris Fader and Patrick Polk are making jokes about Min-Max going viral last week. Yeah, that is. That, you know, to be fair, we did do very well last week. I was very happy we hit our goal. We are at 2,700 Patreon supporters. We've been trying to hit that goal for a little bit. And because of kind of a combo of, well, the Deepest Dive was helpful and the anniversary was helpful. And then also Trivia Tower All-Stars got us out there and we got a big boost from that. We hit 2,700, which means that, yes, we will be bringing back House Hunter Rise as a limited series in the future. House Hunter Rise will be returning for 3 episodes. I'm still trying to work out the schedule with Jeff Lum and Leo to figure out how it's going to work for everybody and how we're going to schedule it out and stuff. And Jeff Lum's going to be out the first couple weeks of November. And so it might have to wait until after that if Jeff Lum is hell-bent on being on it. But House Hunter Rise will return, all thanks to everybody jumping in and supporting us on Patreon and getting us closer to that goal. It's all because of you all staying here that lets that number go up. So it's very refreshing to break records for how many Patreon supporters we've had at the same time. Bob Buell says, so you're saying the Upper Midwest Regional Emmys gave you COVID? I mean, we all could have seen that coming. Yes, exactly. Evan Goldie says, will you and Ronnie finish It Takes Two in 2021? As God's my witness, we will. Yes, absolutely. We've had some bad luck with streaming recently, but Ronnie's going to join on Thursday for the horror streams. But yes, I would love to finish It Takes Two, for sure. Sarah Podzorski on House Hunter Rise remake? That would be fun. That would be fun. I think that's, that show does seem up her alley. She did just buy a house, so we'll see if Jeff wants to swap, or maybe we can just get her on there as well. Mike says, Tane Danger really did have a Joker turn after all. It's a very deep cut. Tane Danger reference, everybody, for everybody that watched the big Emmy stream. Let's see. Other things. We have some questions from Jalen Brooks. Asks, if you could change any law, what would it be? My God. If I could change any law... I don't live in Texas. I have no idea. I feel like, I don't know. Oh, I would, I'd put term limits on Congress. I know that's not apparent. Smarter people than me say that that wouldn't actually help anything. But it seems like, hey, senators, let's just, you get one term. Let's lock it off. Hey, Congress people, let's give you one term. Let's lock it off. Everyone's like, oh, but then everybody will get into lobbying and stuff. It's like, well, it can't be any worse. Am I right? Phil Yeatsteak says, hey, Ben, back when you first went hands-on with the PS5 controller, remember you saying how the points on the bottom of the controller bothered you? Does it still bother you? Yeah. You know what? It does. I'm not a fan. The PS5 controller is good. I like it. Despite me saying I'm not a fan. I absolutely am enjoying my Xbox more this generation. It's just a specific thing. But my pinkies always like ride that sharper edge on the bottom for the PS5 controller, which is a very small thing. But yeah, it is still kind of annoying. It's still cool when I get to play PS5 games, but ultimately, yeah, you know. Shazira says, were you struggling a little during the last round of Trivia Towers questions being asked of you because you and Ronnie had not finished It Takes Two? A little bit. Yeah, there was some, we did 20 questions, and not to spoil Trivia Tower, but the answer was It Takes Two. So yeah, it's a little bit like, oh God, are there vehicles in the game? In retrospect, we should have said yes. But the person still got it. So it was just fine. Tanner says, have you ever invoked a Twitter outrage before? I replied to a Smash tweet that I don't like Minecraft in the game, and it's been a thing all day. Yeah. You know, I talked about it a little bit on the podcast a while ago, but I tweeted about Star Wars and Rian Johnson and Last Jedi the other day, and everybody lost their freaking minds. So every once in a while, it's like, you just got to mute Twitter. It's just, it's brutal. And it's the old lesson of you don't got to tweet about something, even though it's always tempting to share your take on this. It's just not worth it. I remember talking to Cork years ago, and I was delighted by how delighted he was about this. But we're talking about how obnoxious everybody was on social media and stuff. And I said something about how it seems like everyone on social media is just the Joker from 1989 Batman. Where they go, when do they get a load of me? You know, it's just like, that's the tone. It's like, oh yeah, you've all had takes on this? Well, here's my take on Alec Baldwin. It's like, no one's asking you. It's fine. You can just shut up. Everyone can just shut up. It's totally fine. But that's probably a sign that I need to get off social media. When you hit that moment of everyone shut up. It's like, shut up from the platform that you're voluntarily going to, which is all about people screaming. Mike asks the question that I did not miss. I wanted to get back to it, asking, were you able to watch Dune this weekend? Thoughts on it if you did? My God, yes. Yeah, I watched Dune Friday night by myself and absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. It was one of those movies where it's like, yeah, it's 2.5 hours. I was rooting for it to be like, God, just keep going. This is just such an atmospheric film. And you know those movies where, I don't know if you ever had this, where you just think like, I want this to go on forever. And I know this is controversial. I thought that with The Irishman, like watching The Irishman in the theater, I'm like, I'm glad this is so long. I just am enjoying the hell out of watching this, and I never wanted to stop. That was my take on Dune. And not even a matter of like, oh, they cut it in half. How dare they? It'll take forever to get to part 2. Which, yes, it's a little upsetting, but more just like, I just wanted to live in that world. And after I got done watching it, I went and tried to see like, oh, are those old Dune RTS games on Steam? They aren't. So I went to like Abandonware and downloaded Dune 2000, which I really enjoyed back in the day, and I could not get it running on my computer, which is a real bummer. Boy, it would have been smart to make those easily accessible, because everybody at Good Old Games would have bought the original Dune RTS or Dune 2000, but lo and behold, no. And so, yeah, I love Dune. So my history with Dune, ladies and gentlemen, I've never read the book. I watched the sci-fi miniseries from like early 2000s. I don't know if I finished it. I remember thinking it was a little dry. but I watched probably a majority of that with a friend back in the day. And then I played a fair amount of Dune 2000 at that friend's house as well. They're a big Dune fan. And so I still got to be surprised. You know, like, it had been so long, I didn't remember a lot of those beats and twists and turns in that first movie. And so absolutely loved it. I love the art design. I love the mood. I love any world that is that confident with something that geeky and somehow it still works. You know, like, it's not, I'm trying to think, what's a Jupiter Ascending? I'm trying to think of just like a dopey sci-fi movie that just opens like the wall of text and explaining all these stupid words you've never heard before. Some people might feel that way about Avatar, but I like Avatar. But it's just, I was on board. I wanted to learn more about the lore as we're watching. I'm like, what is that word? Oh, what does that word mean? Oh, what is that? I guess literally Star Wars. I guess you're totally right, Chris Fader. Yeah. I was going to say, Star Wars doesn't have as many dopey words, but I guess it does. You just get used to them. But I guess like Death Star, it's not like Tiel Madum or whatever are those Dune words. Like, I just love that stuff. Starkiller asks, have you seen Denis Villeneuve's other movies? Yes, not all of them. To Grant's dismay, I haven't seen Sicario or Prisoners, but I love Arrival. Love Arrival. And I really, 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 really liked Blade Runner 2049. I liked it more than the original, which is probably controversial. So yes, I am a big fan. I've watched a lot of interviews with him talking about Dune and everything. Mike says, Dune was awesome. I knew nothing about it other than spice and big sandworms being a thing. Yeah, hell yeah. Obviously, I would have loved to have seen Dune in the theaters, but COVID would not allow it. Let's see. Tanner, is listing out his movies. I haven't seen Enemy either. MN Goldie asks, is Extra Life... Oh, by the way, there's a good podcast that I really enjoy, the DGA podcast, the Directors Guild of America podcast, but it's with Christopher Nolan talking to Denis. So if you like that concept of directors talking to each other, it turns out directors aren't the greatest interviewers, but you can check that out in your favorite podcast app. Ian T. Clark says, if you like Dune, you need to check out The Foundation on Apple Plus. I keep seeing trailers for that, and it always is shocking about, like, how much of a budget do they have? It looks so huge. That's one with Lane from Mad Men in it, right? I'm still slowly going through Ted Lasso on Apple Plus, and every once in a while, Jon Stewart's show. So I have not watched The Foundation. I probably won't, to be honest with you, but it looks expensive. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Christian Jimenez writes in and asks, what did you think of the Halo story trailer? I enjoyed it. I wasn't one of those people that with that first trailer was like, this looks like garbage, eh? Like, it looked totally fine to me. I thought, like, the grappling looks fun or whatever. You know, back in, was that June 2019? 2020? When was that trailer? July, actually. The new one, I think it's cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing that. I'm really excited about the multiplayer. And, you know, we'll see how deep we get into Halo Infinite's campaign. We'll see how that goes. But it seems like people are excited about it. The tease of, like, trying to figure out what went wrong with Cortana and dealing with other AIs, and you're trying to get the weapon, which is also an AI and stuff. Like, hopefully that was revealing enough for folks to get them more teased. Like, the whole idea of, like, the banished, they're evil, or whatever they're talking about. Like, I don't know how many people are really going to care about the banished. I certainly don't care about the banished. I know they're trying to make it seem like, oh, he's jumping into the end as the big bad guy and all that stuff, but whatever. I like the little gargoyle enemies that they showed. That seems like a fun, silly new enemy. I was on board, but I've been on board for a while. Hopefully people won't send death threats to the developers now, so everyone will be happy. We're going to be talking about that more on the podcast. I'm here, curious to hear Kyle's take. Celeste Leon asks, have you checked out the new Game Informer podcast? Haven't gotten around to them yet, but excited to see a variety of content. Mm-hmm. Yes, Celeste Leon. Yes, so Game Informer has multiple new podcasts. One is called Video Gameography with Marcus Stewart, Trivia Tower champion, All-Stars champion at that, and Ben Reeves. And then the other one is All Things Nintendo with Brian Shea talking about Nintendo. And every week is ambitious for that Nintendo exclusive podcast, but hats off to him. Yeah, I haven't missed an episode of any of those. So it's cool to see Game Informer branching out, making new podcasts. I know they're tight on video production bandwidth, but I feel like probably should have been video for both those. But hey, who am I to judge? But I just know that like feedback wise, having YouTube is just night and day for a podcast avenue for just getting that feedback and course correcting feedback and stuff in real time. It's essential and wonderful. And so I think Shay said like, oh, maybe eventually we'll bring all things Nintendo to, oh, hello. Did somebody call me over Slack? That's confusing. sorry, I think Sarah Pazorski tried to call me over Slack. What are you doing, Sarah? Yeah, hats off to him. I think it's cool. I think it's fun to bring up more hosting talent. It's cool that Reeves gets to host this Metroid series now for video gameography, and it'll be fun to see what series they tackle in the future. So it's cool. It's cool. Leave him a nice review. Hey, it's cool. Ian T. Clark says, I'm playing Kenna Bridge of Spirits, and holy cow, it's Heart of the Metroid Dread. Have you finished Kenna? I haven't finished Kenna. I went back to it at a certain point and got a little bit stuck, not from difficulty, because I totally bumped that down after a bit. But it was just, I love a lot of things about the game and I love the way it looks. But I found some of the puzzles to be a little too cryptic. So I was kind of donezo, but in my mind, I wanted to go back and finish it. But at this point it's like, well, even if I finish it, I don't know how much of an impact it's going to have on my list of top 10 games of the year. I did, this weekend finish, Life is Strange True Colors, which Jenna Christie is obviously a huge fan of, and I'm glad I'll be able to get her back during game of the year discussions and stuff like that. So thanks to her recommendation, I finally checked it out and enjoyed that game quite a bit. People were really hyping up the third episode in a way, and maybe not in an over the top way, but to the point that maybe I was expecting the story. The third episode is cool, but I was expecting it to like get wild off the rails. That's kind of like how people pitched it to me. And I was like, oh, you can't tell me that a story goes bonkers. Now I'm excited. And it's like, the story is a little bonkers at times, and I understand what they're talking about with that episode, but it's not really the format that I was thinking, but it is cool. Probably one of my favorite moments of the year is a certain thing in the third episode of Life is Strange True Colors. But yeah, really enjoyed it. I thought, like, hats off to the art and the animation team, because that budget couldn't have been huge, but especially compared to previous Life is Strange's, I guess just the first one, really, it's been a while. I just thought that the animations and like the model designs looked incredible for Life is Strange True Colors, and the acting, all that fun stuff. Mangoli asks, is Extra Life going to be in person? If yes, could we see a round to mount your friends? Great question. That's a wonderful question. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting because we have so many people to call in. And so we're probably going to subdivide Extra Life again this year, like we did last year. Last year, I don't know if you recall, but we had it like, I opened it up with a 9-hour stream, then Game Informer took 7 hours, then Leo Vader hosted the last chunk. So we'll probably do something like that again. The question is, when would you want the in-person stuff? And now some people from MinMax aren't comfortable streaming in this from the same room, so then it's like, well, is it even worth doing the in-person stuff just to have some people for certain segments? Maybe. But the question is, in my mind, it's like, oh, maybe it'd be kind of fun to have like the overnight late night crew be in person. Or maybe not. So let us know if you'd want us to open with the in-person or close with the in-person, I guess is kind of the question. Let's see. Chris Fader, how is Jon Stewart's new show? I wanted to check it out, but I haven't yet. I desperately miss him on The Daily Show. It seems okay. It's a little long. There's a podcast. It's a companion podcast that I enjoy. Seems a little bit looser and kind of dives into topics a little bit more. I'm Elie Fion. We have talked about Dune. Ian T. Clark says, did you try to start the other podcast while you're at Game Informer? Oh, did I try to start other podcasts? No. Well, I guess, yeah, the AFI podcast with Jeff Cork and Twilight Highlight Zone with Jeff Cork and stuff, I guess those were kind of recorded in the Game Informer studio, even though it was kind of after hours and stuff. Did I try and start? I mean, so The Game Informer show, like Tim and I talked about how much we wanted to host it for a while Helgeson was still hosting it, to the point of like, we feel bad. We kind of want to ask Helgeson if he wants to keep hosting the Game Informer show because we want to take it over. And then it was around that time when we were really heating up talking about how much we wanted to do a podcast that Helgeson said he was leaving. So I was like, oh, well, that just miraculously works out. So yeah, I didn't want to personally pitch any other podcast, I don't think, for Game Informer after the fact, especially once Game Informer show came around. I was like, all right, I'll just fully focus on that. Speaking of Game Informer, we had an interesting question. Adam Cohen wrote into the podcast asking this question. It's one of those things that nobody else wanted to talk about, but I'm like, that's an interesting question, and I would like to talk about it, I believe. Adam Cohen wrote in and says, hey, this is more for Ben and Jeff since you were there. When the Game Informer layoffs happened, this is back in August of 2019, when 40% of the team was let go, which is kind of like the catalyst for forming MidMax here. If you don't know your history, that's fine. History. Anyways, Adam Cohen says, when the Game Informer layoffs happened, I know you and many others were devastated, but it did pave the way for MidMax to exist. Now that it's the 2-year anniversary of MidMax, how do you feel when you look back at the layoffs? I thought that was a really interesting question. And the other guys are like, I don't want to go near it. It just makes me too sad. And that's kind of the overwhelming thing, is still pretty sad about it. Still pretty angry about how it all went down. Makes me quite angry at corporations for being, oh, so stupid. Just unbelievably stupid. And it's a lot of people trying to save their jobs when not thinking about the benefit of the whole. What are we doing? Talking about Congress again? Boo. And so there's like a lot of things to that I'm still angry about with the Game Informer layoffs and how that happened. But obviously I was so upset about it, I decided to leave. And this isn't at anybody really that you would even know. It's kind of just largely higher ups. But it's like, it's such a weird, I am fascinated by that era of Game Informer because I was there for 2 months after the layoffs. And like, there's not really a good opportunity to talk about this. So it's not like we've been dodging it or something, but like, I cannot stress enough how weird and depressing those 2 months were. Like, it was so bizarre to just have this lightning bolt come in from the corporation and just like kill 40% of the people in that staff, not kill, but fire. And then everybody else was just like, I maybe you've talked about it before, but it was such a weird vibe because I was angry for there not being like a rallying and a direction for like, hey, here's how we're going to move forward. And I was also angry at anybody that did try to rally. So it's like, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, because you don't want to do anything because you don't want to support the corporation. But then not doing anything sucks. So it was so bad. But they seem to have recovered and they hired a bunch of new folks. And so I'm happy for them. There's still a part of me that, you know, it feels like, hey, there was a big corporate earthquake on this ground and it killed a lot of people. And now we're rebuilding a bigger house on that same territory. And so sometimes I look back and it's like, oh God, I know what that company is capable of. Be careful, everybody. But I'm still happy for everybody at Game Informer and everybody doing good stuff over there. But the part that I never really talked about, was a weird, interesting. Hang on. MN Goldie says, I've always wondered if the whole stock thing happened earlier, how that would have affected Game Informer. Yeah. If GameStop became a meme stock, would that have prevented the layoffs at Game Informer? Like, if it happened before, maybe, but who knows? I don't understand the stock market. I don't know. Does anybody? I have no idea. But maybe. I have no idea. But the part about that you know, it's now that it's 2 years later, looking back on is so wild, is when I put in my 2 weeks, I did not know for sure that I was leaving to form MidMax, which is something that I haven't really talked about. But even before the layoffs, I was interviewing to leave Game Informer to be a video producer for Wired, the The old magazine. I'm a fan of Wired, and there is a job opening in New York to be a video producer for Wired. And so I was talking to them because they wanted to do more video game stuff, and they wanted me and my contacts and all that stuff, so I would go do in-studio stuff. So I don't know how many times I would have been filming the segment where you stars would take the Google trend thing off, all that stuff. Evan Goldie says, you love magazines. I do love magazines, yeah. And so I was several interviews deep in Wired when the layoffs happened. And so it was such a weird vibe. And then I didn't hear from them for a while. And so then when I put in my 2 weeks, I was like, hey, I'm going to be leaving either to go to New York for Wired or I'm going to launch this Patreon thing. And then I launched the Patreon, and I think it was like that week that Wired finally got back to me and offered me the job, which was very nice. I felt very good because I had been a Game Informer for 9 years, and there's a lot of fun corporate stuff in there about just like, hey, I didn't have a promotion in 9 years, and I was a little bit angry about it. And so just to like have that validation was a big deal for me for Wired to offer me the job. But then it was like, hey, sorry, like you missed your shot. Like, I just launched this Patreon and it's going well, and so I'm not going to abandon it right as we launch just to go out to New York. And now I can't imagine what would have happened if I would have done that, because I would have gone out there, and then shortly after that, New York was on lockdown with COVID, and I probably would have lost that job. So it's a weird, weird time. But there's a little backstory for you. Let's see. So, Tanner, do you think there's any way to whittle down the first round of Trivia Tower without it being a typing contest? Yeah, I didn't feel great about the first round of Trivia Tower for the October round, which was all about identifying which game was number two, because I understand that people don't like it when it's about Hanson and the Big Apple, says Bob Buell. What a thing that would have been. I probably would have hated it, but I was ready to make a change. But I know people don't like it when Trivia Tower comes down to speed for that first round, and I totally get it. So people seem to enjoy the harder questions in that first round. But I feel like we've had other rounds, like the Imran episode, where it was kind of some harder questions in the first round, and I felt like it was kind of not fun for folks, especially for folks watching on YouTube, because it's like, this is impossible. Why would I ever want to compete in Trivia Tower? It's impossible. So there's some middle ground. I probably should have had more harder ones. Yeah, because I also don't like Trivia Tower when it's a typing contest. But I also don't want it to seem impossibly difficult either. So it's a tough balance, right? Evan Goldie says, Sarah's a little young for the N64. If you play Mario Kart 64, you will take the Wario Stadium shortcut. Honestly, I'm not a big Mario Kart 64 person. So I don't even know where that shortcut is. I know it's probably heresy. Patrick Polk says, it's interesting to hear you say you didn't play more of Kenna because it likely won't crack your top 10. How big of a factor is that for you this time of year? It's getting there. It's getting there, Patrick Polk. Yeah, we're getting down to it. And so I got to start worrying about my top 10. Like, I need to go back. I need to finish Deathloop. That's probably next up of a thing that I really need to bang out. I should probably finish Resident Evil Village as well. That seems unreasonable that's just lingering there. I mean, Leafeon says, Guardians of the Galaxy seems pretty good, huh? Yeah, Kyle Hilliard has been playing it on PS5. He seems to be enjoying it, which is great to see. And the reviews are more positive than people thought. Seems like there's some sevens out there, which is kind of the ballpark I was expecting. Game Informer seemed on the very high end with an 8.5. But yeah, I'm curious to check it out. We'll be talking about it on the podcast this week. Christian Jimenez said, it was very cool to see Anna on the anniversary, and having great... This is a funny way to put it. And having great male-female ratio. Was this always a goal when you envisioned Min-Max and having a nice variety of opinions and backgrounds? Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed that. Yeah, it was nice to have Anna back. I wish it was for a game that we all cared more about than Fall Guys. But I'm glad we got to play with the community. But it was quick, like, oh, we're barely paying attention to this. But it was fun to have Sturiel back as well for Min-Snacks. I hope you all enjoyed that anniversary stream. Yeah, in terms of having a nice variety of opinions and backgrounds for Min-Max, yeah, that's been important. I mean, there's always that pressure. I think, from the community of like, just bring on Joe Juba, bring on a bunch of former Game Informer folks. And it's like, well, because of a million reasons, there's a bunch of old white guys that are former Game Informer guys. And so it's nice to shake it up. So yeah, I do think that's fun. Like, my favorite thing, and maybe this is dopey or naive, I'll take both, but it always makes me happy when accidentally we have like a really diverse group, which I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but obviously it's nice to push to have more opinions and backgrounds for our content. But even when not thinking about it, with something like the anniversary stream, that's like, oh, it turns out it's like, what was that? Yeah, because it was like three women and then Jeff and I. It's like, oh, that's nice that we've gotten to a point of that can just naturally happen where Jeff and I are in the gender minority. So yeah, that is a goal. Yeah. Hopefully we've done an okay job. I know we can always do better, and people have definitely let us know ways we can do better and stuff like that, but hopefully y'all enjoyed that. Starkiller says, I think a category like that concept dart one is a good one for the first round of Trivia Tower because it's more educated guessing instead of just speed. Yeah, you're right. More educated guessing. Bob Buell says, by the way, I'm not sure how I feel about the chat on the right not showing the correct answers. Not the biggest deal, obviously, but curious why you changed that from previous months. Yeah, good question, Bob Buell. So with Trivia Tower, Starkiller says, not too hard, but also usually people don't know it immediately. Yeah. So with Trivia Tower for this month, I tried doing something. We'll see how YouTube reacts to it. I was curious what y'all thought about it, where I was scrolling through the answers on my laptop separately. Because I think it's kind of fun to watch all the new answers roll in if you're just watching it. But we'll see what YouTube comments say about the change. It's a small change, but yeah, so I'm not scrolling up in the streamed version to show the actual correct answer. I guess that makes sense because there are times when I'm really getting into the weeds about like typo rules and stuff like that, so maybe it'd be nice to see those there. But hopefully it worked out okay for folks. I'm curious to hear feedback, and yeah, in the future doing it live, I think would be a good move. Let's see. Here's something else to talk about. I wanted to just get the community's take on this because it's important. I'm all up for feedback. But we had somebody reach out, and I don't think this is public, but it's not a juggernaut or nothing. But we had kind of this indie publishing team reach out to us and say, hey, we're doing a stream. When is it? November? Middle of November or something? We're doing a stream announcing some games and giving updates on these types of games. And we were wondering if we could sponsor you doing a reaction stream. So basically a paid reaction stream. And I talked to the cohorts about it, and the cohorts are all like, yeah, that sounds good to us. That seems fine. And the nice thing is that it's a team where it's like, oh, they're like a cool indie group, you know? So it's like, okay, it's not like some nonsense mobile game stream that we're reacting to. But I wanted to get the community's take just on us doing a sponsored stream. Obviously, we would tell everybody. I think legally we have to tell everybody that this is a sponsored stream that we're doing. But hopefully also it doesn't feel too out of line to like, oh, let's just highlight some indie games and they're not telling us what to say. Like, this seems good for us. So yeah, I'm curious if anybody has any hot takes on that, if you think that's a line we shouldn't cross here at MinMax. But I'm kind of in the ballpark of, as long as we can be open with the community and tell them what we're doing and why, hopefully it'll be okay with folks. Let's see. Chris Fader says, get that cheddar. Okay, thank you. Also, he says, I like having people's answers. They can be comically and intentionally wrong at times in ways that can be a solid chuckle. Yeah, it's just that first round. But I also feel like so much of the Trivia Tower first round is just me scrolling for the archive and stuff. So hopefully it's not too annoying. Christian Jimenez asks, will it be an exclusive reaction? No, I think other outlets are going to be doing it as well, I would imagine. Mike says, I'm perfectly fine with sponsored streams as long as the game company involved seems kosher to the cohorts and it's transparent. Yeah, I think that's a biggie, is that it's like, well, it's not outrageous that we would be covering this thing anyway. It's kind of, you know, think of it a little bit like a something in the ballpark of a Wholesome Games Direct that we streamed a reaction to, obviously without being paid, right? Tanner says, totally fine with that. Kind of funny, gets away with much more. Well, I don't know if gets away is the best way to put it. I mean, Lee Fan says, I feel like it really depends on who it is, but if you guys think they're good, then that's great with me. Yeah, I think they're a cool group. As far as I know. Starkiller says, I think as long as it's games you think you'd be into without being paid, I could just feel disingenuous if they're all just shovelware. Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you for that feedback. If you have feedback listening to this, I'd be curious as well. All right, but that should be it. I'm a little bit torn. Part of me wants to kind of relax a little bit this week because doing a bunch of shows with COVID was not very fun. But there's also a bonus video that I've been working on for a while that I should probably work on this week as well. And so this should be fun. And we also have, of course, the Halloween stream on Thursday, and we've got to get ready for Extra Life. So there's a lot of stuff going on, but thanks again to everybody for helping us celebrate our anniversary. Thanks to everybody for jumping up their tier, especially after the free trial and stuff for the free week. Thank you so much. We can't believe we hit our goal. It's really fantastic. Let's see. Oh, Chris Fader says, please have cash everywhere in the shot frame when you do the reaction video. Okay, that makes sense. Bob Buell says, by the way, you mentioned it briefly, but a movie trivia tower would rule. Bob, I want to do trivia tower for the long haul. So at some point we need to shake it up. And my God, would I be into that? I just don't know if the community would. I don't know if people would be annoyed about, like, I know about video games, eh? Ask me about Eidos Montreal, not the works of Annapurna. I don't know. That's a terrible example. Because they're also game people. But anyways, Chris Fader says maybe just blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. All right. That should be it for this episode of Min-Max Council. Thank you so much, everybody. Chris Fader asked number one question. Have you seen Jurassic Park? Yes, exactly. I will let you all know when the call-in episode of Min-Max Council is going to be happening. Hopefully, we'll hear some voices from you. And yeah, should be a good time. We'll let you know if it's just going to be me or if somebody will be joining. I still have to work out some of these details. But also with like bonus streams and bonus streams and Deepest Dive, I feel like everyone's been putting in a lot of hours for Min-Max recently, and so I kind of want to go easy on the rest of the cohorts here. So that's the way we have to be with the size that we are, but I think it works out fine. But thank you so much, everybody. Stay tuned for a fun week here for Min-Max, and yeah, last week to lock in your benefits for November. If you want to be on the Wall of Heroes or if you want to play games with us, you're welcome to jump up to that tier just for 1 month. We would love to play a game with you. It's don't feel guilty about it at all. Jalen Brooks asks, will tabletop coverage come back? Big picture answer is probably. I feel like we've talked about it before. Jeffem, with a kid, doesn't want to, totally fine, doesn't want to get together in person for COVID stuff. And so streaming tabletop games probably won't be happening anytime soon. But Jeffem is learning to edit video, apparently, because he wants to do more tabletop coverage. So hopefully in some format, you know? All right, Patrick Polk says, sorry again to hear about the COVID. Congrats on meeting the Patreon goal. Yeah, that's kind of the 1-2 punch of last week. Emin Goldie says, my first council meeting was fun. Thanks, Ben. Thank you for being here, Emin Goldie. We appreciate the support. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week. Or we'll see you the rest of this week. Bye.